Joe, you want to throw out one?
I'm curious. It's always an issue with our, especially with stage four lung cancers, sampling of the tumor. How are you guys approaching molecular testing? It's more and more important, and it's no better in our community about getting good samples from our pulmonologists.
So you're having a problem getting samples?
Yeah, if they do a bronch, it's usually an FNA. If we do a core, if we do a radiology-directed CT-guided biopsy, we pathologists are usually happier. They have more tissue. We're not talking about the relapses from a prior surgery. There's plenty of tissue. If you want to use old versus new, that's another discussion. But when we get a new stage four lung, and a lot of times they're sick, and there's several issues embedded in that, like how long do you want to wait to start treatment? What testing do you do? And what do you guys think about blood testing versus tissue testing and stuff? There's a whole bunch of, really, this very broad question here, but how do you guys approach it?
The questions that you've raised are a seminar in and of themselves. So we have carefully trained both our interventional pulmonologists and interventional radiologists to be very generous with biopsies for all the reasons that you've mentioned. Sometimes it's just not possible, though. But if they are still doing FNAs, we ask for multiple passes so at least we can try to get sufficient tissue. And remember, it's not necessarily the size of the specimen, but the cellularity of the specimen and how many cancer cells are within the specimen. The wait period is tremendously frustrating, particularly for the next generation sequencing platforms. We keep talking about trying to pare that down to 7 to 10 days. In reality, it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and many patients simply can't wait.
Are you guys familiar with that 2-week Medicare issue too?
So I've heard about this.
Yeah, how does that play out? I keep hearing about that.
It used to be applied, like, it used to come up in breast cancer. If someone was hospitalized for the mastectomy,
that's what I thought, hospitalization.
Then there was a window where everything was bundled, but then they started adding, any testing we added after was considered bundled with their surgery. So for breast cancer, I had to wait 2 weeks, but a lot of times after mastectomy, waiting 2 weeks isn't a bad idea anyway. But then all of a sudden, they started applying it to everything. So if someone was in the hospital for a bronch and got a biopsy, then Medicare would say that any testing we did on that biopsy within the 14-day window was bundled with that procedure, and the hospitals are losing money. I mean, this next-gen sequencing, while it's come down in cost, obviously, like everything, is still pretty expensive, and it's a dead loss for the hospital. I mean, even if it was $1, if it's bundled, that's one less dollar that they take home. So the hospital just won't send the test until the 14-day window is done.
Which is totally antithetical to patient care.
Of course. Well, it's a problem with bundling. Medicare wants to bundle because they perceive it as, I mean, it does. It saves them money.
What about plasma testing, Guardant 360, Corey? How much does that help?
We've been doing this increasingly, certainly in patients where the initial biopsy specimens are insufficient and rebiopsy is problematic, or in folks where we've just gotten FNA and the tumor is not particularly accessible. In EGFR mutant patients who've developed acquired clinical resistance, we do it all the time. In fact, that's our first step. To look for T790, we'll schedule the actual biopsy as we get liquid biopsy. If it comes back positive, we cancel the biopsy. So we do all sorts of ways to try to manipulate the system. Tissue is still the gold standard, but increasingly, I think as plasma biopsies get more and more sophisticated and can detect all this tumor-free circulating DNA, we are relying on that more and more.